You are listening to a sermon by Lydia Kirkwell, recorded on Sunday, November 26, 2023, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Thank you very much for having me back again, and my apologies for popping my video on and off a few times in the beginning there. It's been a busy morning here at home, so I had a few things to take care of to make sure I could focus on you folks while I was preaching. As Laura has already mentioned, today is Eternity Sunday, the last Sunday in the Christian year. And often that provides us with a space to think of eternity, of time beyond, the life beyond, and what it means for us and our loved ones when our life on this earth, in this body, comes to an end. As Psalm 103 tells us, without mincing words, we are dust. We are like grass, here one day and gone the next. And if I stop and think about that just for a minute, my mind trembles a bit. We are mortals. We do not live forever. We die. We are all right now, in a very literal way, dying. I am dying. You are dying. Every single person on this planet, from the oldest to the youngest, tiniest to the tallest, we're all one closer to our death today than we were yesterday. As doctors and nurses well know, all the things we do to keep ourselves healthy and cure ourselves from wounds or sickness, it's all just a stalling tactic. We will all die one day. Does that frighten you? I know it frightens, it terrifies me. Mortality is a scary thing. I like being alive, and I'd very much like to continue being alive. I like feeling the warm sun on my face. I like getting to watch sunsets. I like breathing oxygen deep into my lungs. I like watching dogs play together on the grass as the sun sets. I like hearing the sound of people laughing. I like tasting freshly baked bread. I like living, and I'd rather not stop living. The desire to stay alive is one of the strongest and most basic of all human impulses. And the idea of not living anymore, of cutting off the potential of what we might still experience in this beautiful world of ours, that's not something we like to think about very much. That's something our minds tend to shy away from. Now, I should stop here for a moment and mention that there are a couple of exceptions to this nearly universal desire to stay alive. The first is those who have lived a long, long time, well beyond the 70 or 80 years that are mentioned in the Psalms. While some of these very elderly folks still don't like the thought of dying, many of them start to feel okay about it. They've experienced much of what this world has to offer, and they're ready to say their goodbyes. It's actually an amazing privilege to get to that point in life, really, to have lived so long and seen so much that you are indeed ready for God to take you home. The second exception is those who want to die as a way to escape from pain, whether that pain is physical, mental, or emotional. And sometimes this leads to thoughts of suicide or to considerations of assisted death. But this is one of those exceptions that prove the rule. It takes a truly incredible amount of pain to make people want to die rather than to live. And people who are in this state need all our compassion and sympathy and care. It is important to love people well who feel like they want to or are ready to die. But most of the time, we want to live. We really, really, really want to live and to keep on living. But despite our efforts to ignore our own mortality, here it is in black and white, right in the middle of this beautiful psalm in verse 14. We are dust. We are like grass, which springs up, flourishes, and then suddenly is gone. Now, while we're pretty okay with that fact when it comes to grass and to flowers, it's pretty scary to think about when we try and apply it to our own lives. And in some ways, the next line of the psalm is even scarier. The wind blows over the grass and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. Worse even than thinking of our own death is the thought of being forgotten, forgotten so completely that no one ever knows you even exist. No one ever knows you even existed. That's part of what makes some of us have children, or makes us work hard to invent something, or discover something, or make beautiful art, or contribute in some lasting way to human society. We want to be remembered. Even if we have made our peace with the fact that we can't live forever, we want at least some memory of us to live on. There comes a time when most humans are not remembered anymore. Sure, we remember some people long after anyone who actually knew them died. We remember Socrates and Homer, Paul and Timothy and Barnabas. We remember Constantine and Saint Anthony and Saint Francis, Lao Tzu and Menno Simons. We remember both good and bad people from years gone by, politicians and fighters and artists and leaders of long ago. But for every Queen Victoria or William Shakespeare we do remember, there are thousands upon thousands of people that no one remembers anymore. Millions of people who lived and loved and were loved by others and are now completely and totally forgotten. The wind blows over them, over the place they once made their home, and they are remembered no more. Once again, let me repeat, that is terrifying. That is a problem. This is one of the great problems of our lives as humans. We are aware of our own mortality, the shortness of our own lives, and yet we cannot do anything to stop it. We can ignore it. We can stall death for a while. We can keep it at bay, but one day death comes for us all, and we are powerless to resist it. One day we too might be forgotten. That's a really heavy thing. And I'm sorry to make you think about such a sad and unpleasant reality, especially if this is something that you've been thinking about a lot lately. But I do so in order to help you really hear the wonderful and glorious hope that is in Psalm 103. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Into the problem of human mortality, into the terror we rightly feel at the idea of not existing anymore, of perhaps not even being remembered anymore, comes this incredible verse of scripture, this amazing truth. God is eternal. God is everlasting. God's love endures forever. And even when we don't remember, God remembers us. Let's take a few minutes and soak in this incredible passage of scripture, word by word. From everlasting to everlasting. The word here in Hebrew is olam, which means eternal, perpetual, forever. Continuous, continuing, on and on and on and on, with no end whatsoever. Our lives end, our lives are finite. But God is everlasting. My mind kind of reels at this, but in a very different way than when I try and think about my mortality. My mind reels because I simply can't understand what eternity is. The idea that something or someone could exist forever, without end, everlastingly. A friend pointed out to me recently that because dogs have such short lifespans, generally, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15 years, we must seem as humans like we are eternal to them. You know, they are born, they're puppies, they grow up, they turn into adults, they get older, they pass away, and we must seem unchanged to them. It must seem that it's like we're eternal. And that helps give me some sense of grasping eternity. It's just happening on a longer time scale than I can imagine. But what is it exactly in Psalm 103 that exists forever? What is it that is eternal? But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. The Lord's love, that's what lasts forever. And it's more than just love. The Hebrew word here is my favorite of all Hebrew words, hesed. It's a word that means so much that we actually translate it in many different ways in English. Mercy, kindness, loving kindness, goodness, favor, charity. Chesed is steadfast love, covenant love, love that holds on to you and will not let you go no matter what. Love that goes beyond death. That is the love that God shows his people, and that is the love that is everlasting. We who accept and embrace that we are created and saved by God, we are embraced by God's steadfast love, God's chesed, and that embrace lasts forever, forever and ever, world without end. Death is no match for this love. Our mortality is no problem for this everlasting chesed. Whether we live to be 100 or whether our lives get tragically cut short, we are kept and held in the everlasting love of God. I don't know about you, but that makes the prospect of my own mortality not quite so scary. No matter what happens, my Lord, my Creator and Redeemer and Sustainer has me, holds me. I may not know what lies beyond the veil of this mortal existence, but God does. The Lord's love is everlastingly with those who fear him. And that word fear is perhaps better translated as awe or reverence, that sense that comes when we recognize that God is God and we are not. And knowing that God loves us with an everlasting love is certainly an awe-filled thing, something that gives us reverence. Armed with this knowledge, I can face my mortality and the mortality of those I love with a bit more courage, knowing that God gives life beyond this life. Armed with this knowledge, I can even face the prospect of being forgotten by human history, because I know that God will not forget me. Death is still scary. Death is still the undiscovered country, as Shakespeare said, but death does not have the final word over my life. God does. So with all this in mind, what does that mean for us today? How do we live in light of our fear of death and our greater and holier fear of the Lord? What does it mean for us to face up to our mortality and yet to trust that God's love is truly everlasting? First, I think it means we need to enjoy and celebrate and live into the flourishing times of our lives, knowing that these times won't last forever. We mortals are like flowers of the field. We spring up suddenly and we are gone just as suddenly. But there is some time in between, however brief, when we can flourish. The flowers of the field may not last long, but when they do, they are so beautiful. We do not appreciate flowers less because they are short-lived. In fact, we appreciate them more. The same goes for our lives. As a former pastor of mine used to say, time is short, my friends, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. Second, in these short years and decades that God has so graciously given us, let us live well. Living well means living in chesed, living in love. We are called to love God with all of who we are, heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. As believers, we are called into a life of holiness and righteousness, not because God likes to make us follow arbitrary rules, but because this way of life is good for us and good for those around us. This is the way we can truly flourish as flowers in God's garden, giving delight to all. Living into God's way is good not only for us, but for the generation that follows as well. This righteousness and goodness is passed on to our children and our children's children. Let us live well now, following God's way and seeking to spread God's love to all who need it, because we won't be here forever, and this beautiful, broken world of ours needs all the love that it can get. And third, as Laura is just about to lead us in doing, we need to make time and space in our lives to mourn those we have lost and to acknowledge our own fear of death. We need to light candles of remembrance, remembering those who have gone before us and recognizing that one day people will do the same for us. And as we do so, we recognize that God remembers us eternally, and that Jesus will one day come again to defeat that last enemy, death, finally and fully. So while we remember and while we grieve, we do so with hope. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen.